Welcome to the Messenger Insight, a vidcast outreach of the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. We are on location today at a two-campus church, the First Baptist Church of Springdale, Arkansas, and here at the church at Pinnacle Hills, with its senior pastor, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, and also the chairman who has served over this past year for the Great Commission Task Force of the Southern Baptist Convention. On May 3, 2010, the task force released its final report, and we are here today to discuss its contents with the chairman. Dr. Floyd, thank you for making time for us.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure.
It is an honor to be on your campus, sir.
Thank you.
Dr. Floyd, the task force report states this, quote, "We desperately need to reach our communities for Christ, and this starts with our own young people. Furthermore, we must see this generation of young Baptists take their places on the front lines of the Great Commission resurgence. Humanly speaking, that is our only hope for a bold advance for the gospel in the coming generation." Mr. Chairman, should the Great Commission resurgence be understood as a generationally driven movement? In other words, is the GCR controlled by younger pastors who want to deconstruct the current structure of the SBC?
Absolutely not. There are people of all ages that we have heard from that are very committed to seeing, Doug, a Great Commission resurgence of the Southern Baptist Convention. What we have is a desperate crisis moment with those that are 40 and under in this denomination who really question the validity of much of what we do. And what we must do is formulate a vision that transcends all the generations, but ultimately motivates a future that we believe the next generation will be able to embrace.
Well, in the section on what is currently holding back the SBC, the report states, quote, "Local Southern Baptist churches are now giving an average of 6% of annual receipts to the cooperative program." The report goes on to state that we call upon Southern Baptists to recommit to the cooperative program as the central and preferred conduit of Great Commission funding.
Amen.
Without which, we would be left with no unified and cooperative strategy and commitment to the Great Commission task. Dr. Floyd, looking back over the last three decades, through the years of the conservative resurgence in the Southern Baptist Convention, few SBC presidents supported the cooperative program at what is now even the national average of CP giving. Why should Southern Baptists give more money to the cooperative program?
Well, I believe, Doug, that we have to understand what it is. I think this is a great moment to redefine in the minds of people the purpose of the cooperative program. The cooperative program is not the end result. The cooperative program is a means to the end of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to every state in our convention, as well as across North America and to the ends of the earth. I mean, we have the largest missionary force in the world. I mean, this is a time to come together in unity, in love, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, what is our task force believed by the cooperative program? Look at the final report. I would encourage people to no longer gauge their feelings based off what somebody is telling them or what someone is writing about. Why don't they go to prayforgcr.com, download the manuscript, look at it, get a highlighter, and then evaluate it for yourself before God under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You see, there are churches in our convention that perhaps have not done what they needed to do. You know, we understand that. But these churches are not going to be motivated when we criticize them, we put them down, or we write about how bad they are because they don't support the denomination. All we're going to do is alienate them, Doug, and all we're going to do is absolutely turn off the next generation that we are trying to re-engage in this denomination. This is a time where we can redream the dream of the cooperative program. There are churches like mine over the last 2 years that we have improved. This was pre-GCR, mid-GCR, and I want to talk about post-GCR. But we, over the last 2 years, we have increased our cooperative program gifts by 58.3%. We've also moved that to where it's $400,000 a year, which has got to be in the top 50 or 60, 70 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. And also, Doug, We are very committed that as the Lord leads our church and we watch Southern Baptist even make greater commitments to the Great Commission, that I've already got the approval of our leaders in our church, we're going to encourage our church to continue on in the journey. I believe personally that if the compelling vision of the GCR is adopted, that the cooperative program will rise. When we start talking about the money side of it and we start giving a compelling vision to Southern Baptists of reaching North America and the nations, the result will be money follows vision, and it's time to redream the dream of what we can do together for the sake of the gospel.
Let me follow up on that, sir. The report states, quote, "We must also affirm the primacy and centrality of the local church in the life of the Southern Baptist Convention." Mm-hmm. The New Testament identifies the church as the central instrument of the kingdom of God. Amen. "We must return to the local church to the primacy and centrality of the life and work of our denomination at every level." The report goes on to state that all of our Baptist work beyond the local church must exist solely to serve the local church in this mission. Mm. This is true for every Baptist association, state convention, and the Southern Baptist Convention. None of these exist for itself. All exist for the churches. This missional vision must drive everything that Southern Baptists do and reset every priority of the local church and the denomination. We must also work toward the creation of a new and healthy culture within the Southern Baptist Convention. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, weren't these the goals of the conservative resurgence and its return to biblical orthodoxy? What happened?
I believe that they were the goals, but somewhere we got lost in the journey. Perhaps we had to fight certain things that we felt we had to fight, and we forgot the end result of keeping the gospel and taking it to the ends of the world. Now, all of our conservative leaders in the past have been very committed to seeing that happen. But again, now's an opportunity to build upon the shoulders of the conservative resurgence. This is a moment when we can absolutely take the conservative resurgence to the fulfillment and the dream of the great men who gave themselves for the cause of preserving the inerrancy of the Word of God in the SBC. I mean, listen, we've got great forces now through our state conventions. We've got great forces on the field of our associations. We've got great forces on the field of our national convention. This is a time we have got to, Doug, come together. And we have to understand this is about serving the churches to do what? The Great Commission. A convention cannot take the Great Commission and do the Great Commission work. A convention in and of itself would be extremely limited. But this is about assisting those churches to penetrate the dire, desperate lostness that exists in North America and the world. And our vision is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in the world and to make disciples of all the nations. And when we are motivated by that, the end result will be we're going to become more Christ-like. We're not going to treat each other like we're enemies, but we are friends and we are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have a real dream that one day a true culture will exist in our denomination that will be driven by several core values that do ultimately take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's our heart.
In a section on the North American Mission Board, sir, the report states, quote, "We are convinced that the cooperative agreements must be replaced with a more appropriate structure and pattern of cooperation." It goes on to state, "Thus we call for the leadership of the North American Mission Board to budget for a national strategy that will mobilize Southern Baptists in a great effort to reach North America with the gospel and plant thriving, reproducing churches. We encourage the North American Mission Board to set a goal of phasing out all the cooperative agreements within 7 years and establish a new pattern of strategic partnership," a change from the earlier interim report. Mr. Chairman, what will be the consequences for New Work state conventions who receive almost all of their funding from NAM when the cooperative agreements are done away with?
Well, I think, Doug, what we have to understand is the cooperative agreements is a method to do what ultimately they want to do, which is to share the gospel and to do, many of them just do convention work, all right? Our dream is not to do away with them. It never has been our dream to do away with them without replacing them with something. The progress report stated it. The final report is extremely committed to that. And so our heart is to come alongside of the conventions, all right? The state conventions that exist in underserved and unreached regions of North America. For the purpose of what? To helping them fund the ministries, the personnel, whatever is needed to do one thing, penetrate the lostness of North America. We do not believe that Southern Baptists give mission money to sustain convention work. We believe Southern Baptists give mission money for the purpose of one thing, penetrating the lostness of North America and the ends of the world. And speaking of lostness, Doug, I mean, how do we not want to embrace the fact that exists right now in our nation, 233 million people without Jesus Christ? How do we not want to do something in the element of change of addressing the 258 million North Americans who do not know Jesus Christ? How in the world would we ever justify not changing whatever it needs to be changed to penetrate the lostness of a world where 3.5 billion of them have absolutely no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we know the best case scenario is that several hundred million, probably just under a billion, admit that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and their life has been changed by the Spirit of God. Yes, some have rejected Jesus. Absolutely, they reject the Lord here. But where do we want that to happen? What do we want to happen? We believe that every person should have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ and His love and the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a theological movement as well as a Great Commission movement. We have built the whole report on the lostness of the world, on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the place of the local church in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And man, what more do we want? I mean, listen, every church needs to come alive about taking the gospel to their city, to their village, to their town, to their region, working together in partnership with one another across North America and the world. I mean, this is a partnership thing. If the North American Mission Board had the assignment to do that in and of itself alone, which some people are saying, that is absolutely ridiculous. The North American Mission Board can't do anything without the local churches, and they cannot do anything without believing partners in our state conventions who are convinced that we must reach North America and we must penetrate the lostness of the world. Our state convention leaders are great men. They have a heart for the Great Commission. They do. They've given their lives to the Great Commission. And it's time that we think about new ways to reach a lost world. You know what? We have to understand. Someone taught me this statement years ago, Doug. The process always precedes the product. Now think about that. The process always precedes the product. Most Southern Baptists are not pleased with the product because they are committed. In fact, I personally think that no Southern Baptist who is in the know is pleased with the product. Yes, there are great highlights. Yes, there are great moments. Yes, there are great things happening in and across America and across the world. But listen, if we want a different product, we're going to have to change our processes. We've got to be willing to risk it all. We've got to be willing to step up and lead. This is a time for leaders to step up, join hands together, and say, we are going to make a commitment. We will penetrate the lostness of our town, our village, our rural area. We will penetrate the lostness of our city. We will penetrate the losses of North America, and we will penetrate the losses of the world. That is the heart of the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force and their final report.
Let me just follow up, sir. Will North American Mission Board funds be utilized in old line states in the Southeast?
Oh, yes. That will be ultimately up to the North American Mission Board, obviously. You know, that's not the role of that. Now, whether or not they do it as present, you know, our heart is to take money from the South that is right now being used for those cooperative agreements and give them enough time whereby they would never have to take cooperative program funds away from that. Give them 7 years to try to build up to that level, and all that will be reduced as the North American Mission Board and them reach partnership. A couple of our state conventions are ready to do it really soon. You know, so I mean, the commitment is that we've got to work together to do this. Now, again, that's not our role. But what will the North American Mission Board and our vision do for those state conventions? Well, you know what? There are cities in the South, you know, I mean, in those 14 O-line state conventions and where those cities are, listen, there is a desperate need for the gospel. There's lostness existent in every one. There is a metropolitan region that the North American Mission Board has defined in every state of the United States. Some say, well, what's going to happen if we're not in a state with a lot of metropolitan regions? Friend, we've already asked the North American Mission Board. They've already identified it. Every one of our states has a population base that they categorize by their statistics a metropolitan region. So the North American Mission Board can go into any state they so choose in order to do what needs to be done, which is ultimately one thing. And I want to make this statement today. I want people to really understand this statement. The North American Mission Board exists to penetrate the lostness of North America. Saying it more effectively, the North American Mission Board exists to assist churches to penetrate the lostness of North America. We can't do it without our churches, can't do it without partnerships. And that's the commitment of the task force. We need to stop pushing the panic button. We're in this thing for the long haul. We're trying to make a difference. And we need to come together for the gospel.
In a section on church planning, sir, the report states, quote, regardless of the size or location of our churches, we call for each to have a vision for planting churches somewhere in North America. It is our desire that at least 50% of the ministry efforts of NAM be given to assist churches in planting healthy, multiplying, and faithful Baptist congregations in the U.S. and Canada. Mm-hmm. Sir, should only churches plant churches? Should missionaries, even of a parachurch organization like the North American Mission Board, plant churches without the support of other congregations in that initiative?
We believe, Doug, the biblical model is churches planting churches. We believe that the role of the association would be to mobilize those churches to plant churches. Some would say, well, how in the world is my church that runs 20 going to go out here and plant a church? How in the world is my church that runs 75 or 100 or 500 going to be able to plant a church? Listen, we do that in partnership. If you give to your association and your association becomes aggressive in church planting, which we pray and hope so, and then obviously you can work in partnership with them. Listen, we are planting churches in America and across the world today. We're planting 15 churches as a church this year across North America and the world. We're doing some of those churches with a partnership with other churches so we can come together. There can be 5 churches or 10 churches or 20 churches. I welcome any small church, membership church. I welcome any large church that wants to do church planting. Come alongside of us. Help us do it as a church. We're committed to doing that. Therefore, hey, we can all do it together. And what we want to see, Doug, is a prioritization existing at the North American Mission Board for church planting. I mean, think about it this way. I haven't seen anyone write about this. I haven't seen anyone even consider this. Our goal of planting those churches is one thing, to penetrate the losses of North America through new congregations, because we know if they're done effectively, they can do that. Now, has anyone ever asked a question? Let's say that we were able to plant an average of 2,000 or 2,500 new churches a year, or whatever the figure would be that could happen between the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board inside of North America, working together in partnership to do that. Do we not understand every one of those churches that are planted become revenue centers? Every one of those churches planted become people who could come alongside the mission of Jesus Christ and make a difference? I mean, and by giving, every one of those church plants can do that. I mean, this is a moment where we need to relax and we need to come together and we need to see the dynamic. And let me say this word about our association of missionaries, directors of missions, depending on what they're categorized. And every one of those, they fit at a different level because every state commission does it differently if they're tied to them, or every local association does it differently. Listen, what is our commitment if they're receiving NAM dollars? All we're saying is this one thing. Hey, if you're an association missionary, If you're a state convention, however that works, all we're saying is, hey, we have no problem with them being jointly funded as long as they're penetrating lostness. If that is the dominant role of their job, okay, the dominant role of their job, then we have no problem with that in vision. But I want to make it real clear, that is not the purpose of the GCR Task Force. That's the purpose of the North American Mission Board, their new president and CEO, and it's the purpose of, ultimately, the Board of Trustees that are accountable to the Southern Baptist Convention. And so, but in our heart and our vision, we don't have a problem with any of that. I mean, we want to advance the gospel for one cause, penetrating lostness. That's why we named our report, Penetrating the Lostness.
Let me follow up with you about state conventions. The report states, quote, our state Baptist conventions are doing an important work in reaching their own states for Christ, planting churches, educating young Christians, and partnering with other Baptists across the nation and across the world. Approximately 63% of all the monies given through the cooperative program remain in the states. And the greatest percentage of these monies remain in the states with the largest Southern Baptist populations. We call upon the state conventions to increase the percentage of cooperative program funds directed to the Southern Baptist Convention. In a statement on the challenges to state conventions, it says this, quote, determined to return to the historic ideal of a 50-50 cooperative program distribution between the state convention and the SBC. State conventions in this report have been challenged to forego cooperative agreement funds, expand the promotion of the cooperative program and stewardship development in these states, and to go to a 50-50 national split with the national agencies. How can this be accomplished without destroying the state convention structure?
First of all, no one wants to destroy the state convention structure. I have sat down and I have met personally or on the phone in conference calls, perhaps by now, depends on who was on the call yesterday, with all of them. All right, but I have done before yesterday and the major conference call we had with all of our state executives, I had sat down, met, conversed on the phone or whatever with around 80% of those men. Let me tell you one of the real challenges that Southern Baptists need to embrace is those are godly men. They want to reach their regions for Christ. They're very convicted that God has called them to their task, and I'm glad they are. Because how in the world could we do what we need to do if they're not doing it? So we have asked them, we have challenged them, but this is not a decision of the conventions. This is a decision of the local churches in those given states. And that's what is decided in every annual convention, you know, of every state convention, as well as it's going to be decided on the national level, not for associations or state conventions, but on the national level, because that's the other side of this whole equation people don't talk about. The autonomy of a local church, the autonomy of 1,100 associations, the autonomy of 42 state conventions, and the autonomy of the Southern Baptist Convention, and the autonomy of the 12 entities of the Southern Baptist Convention. And somehow, in all the midst of that autonomy, we've got to learn to work together, even in a more effective way. So therefore, what does a state convention need to do? Pray, evaluate, consider, work together in a consortium we imagine between our state conventions to come together for the purpose of thinking how we can better acquire cooperative program funds for our churches and those matters relating to stewardship education within our churches. They're close to the churches. They know the churches better than the national convention. Hey, go get it done. And, you know, the whole issue is that we're going to be there to encourage them in doing it. Therefore, as they do that, and then they work out these cooperative agreements, which is 7 years. I mean, that's a long time. Okay? And I mean, you know, people are probably going to tell me it's not long enough. I got an email from a guy today that said, boy, why are y'all waiting that long? Well, you know what? The thing is that we need to be sensitive to that. We don't want to jeopardize what's already in place for the purpose of trying to make a better future in relationship to what we believe is ultimately going to be the responsibility and the end result of our report, if we can work together to do it.
Currently, two state conventions have what they call preferred budget items. That is, there are areas in their budget that they consider priorities that are set apart before the split with the national agencies. Do you anticipate that more states will follow this pattern of preferred items?
Well, some of the states may, and I would say this again, that's not the role of the task force to decide that. That's the role of the state conventions to decide that. And as the churches are informed and they embrace these new strategies and these new opportunities, then they've got to do what we've asked them to do ultimately. Now again, if we have measured correctly and if they measure correctly and they are able to do what we believe can be more effectively done within our state conventions because they're closer to the churches, the end result is there's going to be more money. Churches are going to get more money. When church planting explodes prayerfully, there's going to be more money ultimately. So it's a matter of giving this time to work out. And so we've got to give it time and trust the processes that we're trying to say, consider. Southern Baptist Convention, we believe there may be some new ways or more effective ways, just like we've been asked by the Commission to do so, that can get the ultimate result of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Dr. Morris Chapman, the current President and CEO of the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, released some information through Baptist Press recently talking about the items of budgeting with the state conventions. Mm-hmm. The increase that they would have with the responsibilities that they would have could well reduce, he stated, the amount of money given to the IMB, which is a stated goal of the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force. He asked, what is gained there if there is no more funds going to the IMB? Is he right, Dr. Floyd, in that assessment?
Well, I do not believe he is right long term. Will he be right year one? I have no idea. That will depend on how state conventions, as they develop that consortium together, of how they would do that. Many of those state conventions already have budgeted funds right now for the cooperative program. Many of those state conventions will come around the newer work state conventions and ensure that it's done in the correct way. And again, it depends on which way is more effective. And if it's more effective, which we believe it will be ultimately in the process, there's going to be more money at the state level and more money at the national level. You know, again, we can't be holding on to our territory, holding on to what we have been used to for a few years, and look at this at the big picture. This is not about any state convention. It's not about any specific church. It's not about any national entity. It's not even about the Southern Baptist Convention. It's about one thing, how Southern Baptists can partner together to more faithfully and effectively take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what the SBC asks us to look at. That's all we're doing. None of us willed this job. None of us had, oh, please, Johnny, put me on that. There was none of that. I was the most shocked among shocked. Especially when he asked me to be chairman of the group. But you know what? It's been a tremendously rewarding experience for me personally. Doug, I will never be the same again. Our church won't be the same. The ministries that God has placed me over and the heart of the future, you know, none of that's ever going to be the same. And thank God for the opportunity. And I believe the SBC won't be the same if we will do what needs to be done about the Great Commission in a more effective and faithful way. And by the way, won't be the same. We mean that in a good way, not a doomsday way by doing this or that.
Let's move to the item of Great Commission giving, sure. A topic which has, as you know, I'm sure, received quite a bit of pushback in recent days. Norman Jameson, the editor of the Historic Biblical Recorder of North Carolina, wrote this in an editorial on March 5th, 2010, concerning Great Commission giving. Quote, already, he states, the cooperative program is buffeted by 85 years of being taken for granted. It has become a faceless funnel for effective mission support at a time when every parachurch organization puts faces and names on their appeals, and our own International Mission Board is forced to make more than half of the missionaries anonymous for safety's sake. Jameson goes on to write, there is much talk in the task force report of churches owning the Great Commission responsibility individually. That is a biblical mandate. But the work of the Southern Baptist Convention is work of churches cooperatively. Changing nomenclature adds not a dollar in effect or motivation to missions, but it will have the effect of sticking another drain in the vein of the cooperative program to the demise of ministries, what he calls in North Carolina Baptists, that which they have birthed and nurtured for Jesus' sake. Mr. Chairman, is he right? Is Great Commission giving a threat to the cooperative program? And will Great Commission giving create competition between the cooperative program and other areas of ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention?
First of all, Doug, what we're categorizing as Great Commission giving is already happening in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's happened for years and years. People, churches have designated to various matters of mission causes. I mean, for example, right now, the present situation is we let churches report whatever they do in missions, wherever they do it, and whoever they do it with, from Samaritan's Purse, which is a great ministry, all the way to various parachurch ministries, which are also great ministries. But that's what we let them do now through the annual report. We're not even saying that. We're saying let's tighten that. Let's talk about what Southern Baptists do together for the Great Commission. And all we're saying is that the cooperative program becomes even more elevated. We do not think it's competition at all. It's complementing one another, because there are churches right now that are already giving to Lottie Moon. Do we not want them to give to Lottie Moon? They're already giving to Annie Armstrong. Do we not want them to give to Annie Armstrong? They're already giving, maybe some through other ministries through their state convention. Do we not want them to do that? Do we not want them to give to some of the arms of the national convention, if that's what those churches feel led of God to do? Do we not want to do that? Do we want to say, write them a letter and tell them, oh, please don't do that. We don't do that here. Listen, I've never turned down a designated gift at a church as a pastor. And I think anybody that would ever want to do that is really not wise at all. What we need to be able to do is say, you know what, I'm going to receive this in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to try to get to know those churches better. I'm going to try to get to know those people better, because if I get to know their heart and I can educate them and I can inform them about, hey, you know what, we appreciate what you're doing, but you know what, there is another great way you can come alongside of us, and we want you to consider the cooperative program. We want you to, again, this is reimagining the dream. This is looking at the best case scenario. Everywhere we hear people say, or not everywhere, but many places we hear people say, articles have been written. Everybody imagines doomsday, worst case scenario. Has anyone ever imagined the best case scenario? Best case scenario is perhaps the cooperative program will begin to grow, because we have an opportunity to call churches up. Look at the report. Read the report. Stop reading what other people write. Read what the task force has said. And the Great Commission giving, Doug, we're talking about, all that is simply opportunities for churches that they're already doing.
Just to clarify, sir, only funds that are contributed to Southern Baptist causes,
that's correct,
can be counted as Great Commission giving, correct?
That's it. Yeah, that would be the second line, if you may, of what we're saying is. But we're also saying the cooperative program is a part of that Great Commission gift, okay? Because, again, you imagine the first line, cooperative program. You imagine the second line, those matters that churches might designate to various SBC matters. And then the final word is simply Great Commission giving. There's not competition. There's not any of that going on. And, you know, some people say, well, we're doing this because, you know, more churches want more credit, or more churches, you know, these guys want to do this, so they want to do that. That is not the motive at all. I mean, my soul, why would that be the motive? The one motive is, let's just celebrate what the churches are doing. Let's empower the churches to do what they believe under God that they need to do. And let's give God an opportunity to work in their heart. And let's let us have an opportunity to re-educate Southern Baptists about what they can do through the cooperative program. And listen, I don't know how much stronger this group can be for the cooperative program than what we've been. I don't know. Many of our guys are leading in that. We are committed to that. We have people that are giving, that give 10% plus to the cooperative program right now. We have one guy that's given, I think, 19% of his thing. You have state convention. And here's another thing, Doug, people, you know, somebody write about this. We have 8 members of the 23-member task force who are funded in their salaries and benefits by Southern Baptist entities. Now, why in the world would any of them ever try to destroy the cooperative program? They'd be crazy if they did that. That'd be like cutting off their arms. Nobody's out to destroy it. You take some of the great leaders. Look at David Dockery, who is known for creating that Southern Baptist identity, who understands the cooperative program as much as any man alive, okay, and the historicity of that. Let me tell you something. David would never do that. Al Mohler would never do that. Danny Aiken would never do that. Bob White, a state convention leader in one of our greatest state conventions of size and proportion. You take Jim Richards at a brand new state convention, you would think would have a heart that would be a little more opposite of that. Listen, that convention is very committed to the cooperative program. Look what they're doing. I mean, it's worthy to look at and to know. You talk about an association of missionary like Tom Bile. Well, why would Tom want to do that? My soul, it's his lifeblood. You talk about men like Frank Page, and you talk about men like Harry Lewis, who are in those upper areas of NAM vice presidency and leadership. Listen, every one of those men voted for this report. Every one of those men believe in what we're saying. And I think if we would just go back to what the report says, rather than people say, this is what the report is saying, what is the motivation? That's why we're saying, hey, Southern Baptist, why don't we develop a culture of trust? Why can't we just trust one another? Why can't we just get together? That's important. And we need to learn to love each other and trust each other like the Scripture talks about, and take it for what it is.
There's 7 recommendations, sir, that are outlined in this report. How will these be presented to the messengers in Orlando? Will the messengers hear one motion for a final passage of the report, or will there be 7 motions, one per recommendation, sir?
Well, I believe that ultimately that we're in the hands of the presiding officer of the SBC to make that decision, as that presiding officer consults with a parliamentarian of the Southern Baptist Convention. And that's been our task force's position on this, and that will be our position going into the Southern Baptist Convention on June the 15th when our report and recommendations are presented to the SBC.
Some have stated that the seminaries across the Southern Baptist Convention, and particularly the IMB, have escaped the scrutiny of the task force, unlike the state conventions and the North American Mission Board. Is that an accurate perception, Mr. Chairman?
I do not think it's an accurate perception, first of all, because they have not been in our meetings, because they're confidential meetings. We have talked about the seminaries extensively. In fact, if you look back over the last 20 years or so, which entity in Southern Baptist life or entities in Southern Baptist life have been under more scrutiny than every seminary in the Southern Baptist Convention? Along, they have accountability to the Executive Committee and to the Southern Baptist Convention every year. If they will look at the report again, we challenge the seminaries to go to a new level in many of those ways. I mean, so we're doing that. Also, in relationship to the IMB, there are matters that we've talked about in the IMB that no one knows. Okay, that's part of it. We know that there are some matters at the IMB that need to be addressed, or every one of our entities need to be addressed that we didn't even speak to. You know why? Because it's not our role to take apart every one of those entities. It's not been our role to take apart the entities that we have simply said, hey, you know what, let's relook at this, because you see, the goal is penetrating lostness. I, for one, believe the International Mission Board is doing a pretty good job at penetrating the lostness of the world. Can they do better? Hey, can my church do better? Absolutely. Can our seminaries do better? Hey, can my church do better? Absolutely. Can every entity in the SBC do better? Absolutely. Can Ronnie Floyd's church do better? Absolutely. And remember, this is a call that we have been established and we've been given, that we are called to do one thing, to bring a report and recommendations on how we can more faithfully and effectively fulfill the Great Commission in the world's largest Protestant denomination. That's our goal. That's our assignment. That's our commitment.
Sir, on April 14th, 2010, Baptist Press Assistant Editor Mark Kelly referenced a conference call that took place in which you participated with Bobby Gilstrap, the Director of Missions for the Huron and Southeastern Baptist Associations in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Gilstrap later published the results of a poll question asking, quote, if you were to vote on the GCRTF report as a whole today, how would you vote? Well, 76.8% would vote against it, 23.2% would vote for it. However, Baptist Press did not report the demographic information associated with this survey. When asked by those who participated what was the satisfaction and impact rate of those not directly associated with convention staff or associational staff with this report, Gilstrap pointed to his website, where it was discovered that of the participants in the survey, 67.9% classified themselves as associational staff and or state convention staff. Based on this information, Dr. Floyd, do you believe, as we approach Orlando, that of the reported 76.8% of those who said they would vote against the GCR report as it states today, as it is stated today, is an accurate reflection and the sentiment of pastors and others who do not work for the denomination in some capacity.
If that 76% is true, I would be absolutely shocked. And they've not been reading my mail, and they have not been hearing the people called Southern Baptist. I think it's an important observation made by the group themselves. 67%, I believe, is what you said.
Yes, 67.9.
Received dollars and cents as part of their salaries, or all of their salaries, from cooperative program matters or through partnerships with the North American Mission Board. I mean, hey, let me ask this question. What are the pastors saying? What are the lay people saying? Many of the pastors and lay people are believing one thing. They're believing what some of those or other employees of the Southern Baptist Convention might be telling them what they need to believe. I would ask every Southern Baptist pastor and every lay person in the Southern Baptist Convention, go to prayforgcr.com. Put aside what else you're hearing and what you have being sent to you in email masses of trying to get you to stand against what we're trying to do for the Great Commission or whatever it may be, and just come together and read it yourself. You're intelligent. We have the priesthood of the believer in our theological background and what we believe in the Scripture. Decide for yourself and ask yourself, does this really penetrate the losses in a more effective way? And I promise you that if we stood before however many million really Baptists we have, however many really exist, and we were to present to them all this report on a given Sunday morning, I promise you the vast majority of them would support it by the nature of one thing. They haven't had the message diluted in their minds or translated in their minds or interpreted in their minds through someone else. But they've had it one thing. Take it for what it is. Get the Word of God. See what the Scripture says. Look at this report. And does this report help us fulfill Holy Scripture in a more effective way? Now listen, every person has to decide that. If the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't want this, then you know what? I just would be really surprised. I mean, has anyone ever asked the question or thought about what would happen to the Southern Baptist Convention if this is not approved? What would happen to the future work of Southern Baptists if this was not approved by the messengers? Well, you know what? Everyone will give an accountable, be accountable to God for how they handle this. And I'm not saying, and I would never say, that people who vote against this report, if they so choose to do so, are against the Great Commission. I don't believe that. What I do believe is, however, is that if we will look to the future, we had better change some of our processes and we had better address them, because we are a denomination that is in trouble. Lostness is growing and we're in desperate need for real, true spiritual revival and awakening. And you know, some people say, well, if we just have a revival, that everything will work out. Well, yeah, if we will have a revival and we'll see spiritual awakening, absolutely some of those things will be worked out. But you know what? What I found, Doug, is this. When the Holy Spirit gets on something, things change. And there are pastors and leaders in our conventions and in our churches that I guarantee you, when they went to their job or responsibilities, most of them adjusted structure so that they could do one thing, have the gospel flow more freely, faithfully, and effectively through their entity. That's all we're saying. It's not an either or. It is a both and. And if we just let God get on this, listen, all this conversation will become mute because we'll be trying to keep up with what God does. But I tell you what I found in my ministry as a pastor. The more effective my church is in winning lost people to Jesus Christ, the more effective my church is in making disciples, the more effective my church is in planting churches, the more effective my church is in advancing the gospel through North America and the world, the more power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon the church. God sends His Spirit to churches and to men and women who are committed to taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I believe personally that if we will make a few adjustments, there are not a lot of adjustments, but a few adjustments, we call our churches up, we call our pastors up, we call our associations, our state conventions, our national entities, and all Southern Baptist leaders up to a new level of commitment. then there is no telling what God is going to do. And I believe Orlando could be a tremendous glory to God. And you know what? One other thing about this is that there are a lot of people looking at what the Southern Baptist Convention is doing. Now, there are a lot of different denominations looking at what we're doing. I'm hearing from some folks who run major ministry types out here who are looking at what we're going to do. You know why? Because Southern Baptists have historically been a leader among people who have a heart for the Word of God and the Great Commission being taken to the ends of the earth. And you know what? They're for us. Man, they're praying for us. They're rooting for us. I mean, they really are, because they know if we can stand at this moment, that evangelical Christianity in America can stand and rise as well as lostness can be pressed or can be penetrated in an unprecedented manner across the world. And that is what we want to see in the Great Commission resurgence at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Dr. Ronnie Floyd, thank you for taking time with us today. It's a pleasure to see you and to be hosted here in your beautiful
church. Thank you, friend. Thanks for the opportunity.
And thank you for joining us. Please keep up with us more on BaptistMessenger.com while this and other vidcasts will be posted there, as well as reports leading up to the Southern Baptist Convention in Orlando. I'm Doug Baker. Thank you for joining us.